States, we wanted to just fellowship a little bit about the church life here in Hall 4.
Amen.
And so that's our topic. And what if we just read the verses? I think verses a lot of us are familiar with, but they're always refreshing. Acts 2, 46 and 47.
Amen.
And day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they partook of their food
with exultation
and simplicity of heart, praising God and having grace with all the people. And the Lord added together day by day those who were being saved.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't have a chance to fellowship with the brothers about the title, but I just threw this in here. An opportunity for a new beginning.
Amen.
A new beginning. And just to step back a little bit, regarding the Lord's move here in Hall 4, especially on the English side, of course, a number of us moved from Hall 5. Yeah, come on in. A number of us moved into this area from Hall 5 around 2008.
Yeah.
2008. So that was 11 years ago. And I want to say at that time there was maybe 40, 45 saints, maybe a little bit less, that were meeting here on the Lord's Day, and so a lot obviously a lot has happened since then. And in 2016, we got to the point where I was looking at our numbers, and in the month of September in 2016, there were. We were averaging like 110, 115 brothers and sisters here on Lord's Day morning. So we were really, and it was the beginning, September, you know, August, September, that's the beginning of a new academic year. And again, this is 2 years ago. And so we were just seeking the Lord for how to go on here in Hall 4. And we had a number of different fellowships at that time with the church about this burden of splitting into two districts.
Yeah.
So, and we had our first, we actually began practicing that in October 2016. So it's been almost 2 years since we have District 1 and District 2, District 1 being here at the sister's house, of course, and District 2 down the street at the brother's house. And it's helpful, right, to just kind of step back and look at where we are and where we need to go.
Amen.
Where we've been. And if we can just consider the situation among us, right, in Hall 4, especially looking forward to this next year, there are a number of things that, very positive things, that are significantly different this year than last year. All right? Well, what are those things? There's very positive things, like there's been some multiplication. We have a bunch of new babies.
Amen.
Right, with among some of the families. So, which is very positive, but it also there's changing personal situations, availability, responsibility. As many of us know, we've talked about this many times. There are the now seventh graders who were sixth graders last year. They're with us now, and they don't always come every week, but there are 14 of them. So we've suddenly, you know, this verse, it says, the Lord added together day by day those who are being saved.
Amen.
Anyway, there was a big addition over this last year, at the end of last year, to us, these 14 saved and baptized, and they've been added to the church. So that's a great thing. There's also some there's always a lot of movement because we're here in a college environment, and downtown LA, working saints, generally of younger age, so there is turnover, and we had a number of students graduate like Angel and David, etc. We also have one of our largest incoming classes of college students from the churches at USC. That we've had in a long time. Now, of course, all of them are at different levels of their interest and pursuit of the Lord, but there's a good number of them. So that's another factor. There's also, of course, ones who have migrated or been sent out or moved on from LA, such as the Lees, right? Richard and Kristen. We've got the Nguyen's. They didn't leave LA, but they shifted from Hall 4 to Hall 2. So Cy and Rachel shifted up there. There's been ones like Walter and Armour who, for job reasons, have moved on. So there's just a the point is that there's a lot of changes going on, which is a good thing, which is positive. And so it's an opportunity to freshly seek the Lord and look to the Lord for a new beginning and how to go on and how to go on. And so we have, you know, last week, I wasn't here because I was in San Diego, but we passed out this sheet, right, which has a schedule of our meetings for this upcoming next, 3 months or 4 months. So, and we just wanted to take a little more time to fellowship about why are we doing? Let's refresh on why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
This is not just so that we can be more comfortable, have nicer meeting spaces. This is not what is driving our decision to make this arrangement. It's not just, the AC is not working well enough. We got too many people. It's too hot. Therefore, let's think about sending some people somewhere else so that when it's hot, you know. I mean, this is not why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
This is not the primary reason, right? So why are we doing what we're doing? And I think these excerpts, hopefully I'll go no more than like 9:25, 9:30. Some of the other brothers can jump in. So I think these excerpts are really helpful.
Yeah.
And sorry, I didn't get a chance to fellowship with the brothers. But how about let me just read to you the first one, okay? Okay. According to the Bible, the meetings should be an exhibition of our living.
Amen.
So anytime we touch meetings, we're changing meeting structure, we're talking about meetings, we just need to step back and link this to our living, to our living, right? So if we want to go on in our meeting life, we have to link it to going on in our living.
Yes.
Okay? However, because of influence of our environment and background, okay, various things, our disposition, maybe just different rituals we're used to, once we come to the meetings, we are silent, quiet, and polite. But when the meeting is dismissed, we are very talkative. The practice of worship service is very fitting for man's natural disposition. This kind of meeting is not an exhibition of one's living, but is merely a performance. So for sure, as we head into a new academic term and a new meeting schedule, what we don't want to do is simply have a new way of performing.
Right.
On Lord's Day morning, just a different format. What we really want is we want a new beginning in our living.
Yes.
And if we have a new beginning and fresh going on in our living, then even if we don't have the best meeting format, the meetings will be fresh.
Right.
They'll be new. Of course, we're going to do both. We're looking for both. It's both a new beginning in our living, a fresh going on in our living, but also in the way that we're meeting. Okay? Then the next two kind of go together, the next two paragraphs here. And so here it talks about, how about brothers, do you want to read the next one?
We have found that in order to practice the way ordained by the Lord, we need to pay attention to four main points. First, to visit people and preach the gospel to gain new ones. Second, to lead the new ones to establish home meetings. Third, to lead the new ones to join the small group meetings. And fourth, to participate in the district meetings. We must spend time and effort to fellowship and study these four points thoroughly so that we can carry out the new way practically.
Okay, and then sisters, how about the next one?
These three items, saving sinners, home meetings, and group meetings, there is a building up, yet we still need something more. We need all the perfected saints to come together on a larger scale to prophesy.
Amen.
Speak for the Lord. Amen. In the church meetings of mutuality.
Amen.
According to our study and experience, it is best to have no more than 50
coming together for the church meeting of mutuality.
Amen.
If we can have more than 50, it is hard to practice the universal prophesying. By the universal prophesying, I mean a situation in which every attendant in the meeting is ready to speak.
Amen. That's good. So, the first point about our kind of a just new arrangement, new beginning here in Hall 4, is that as we seek to go on with the Lord in the meetings, again, we link it to our living,
yes.
Right? Our living. Okay, so the second point is that this meeting that we're talking about, we're calling it district meetings, all right? District meetings here in this house, down the street, or even here at this house altogether. This gathering is kind of like it's the fourth step in a process, all right? And so again, you don't just jump into step four without remembering steps 1, 2, and 3, right? And what are the emphasis here? The first three items are what? Saving sinners,
yes.
Right? Having a burden for others, praying for others, speaking to others so they can know the Lord. Secondly, home meetings. Now, home meetings here, it's mainly talking about like one-on-one or two-on-one visitations, just times of shepherding one-on-one, which is greatly needed. And so this underlies our gatherings on the Lord's Day. If we just see each other on Lord's Day morning and don't have any one-on-one or two-on-one or two-on-two, contact with one another during the week, then we will never be able to have the gathering on Lord's Day morning that we're supposed to.
Yes.
It's based on our visitation, okay? And then thirdly, it mentions group meetings. In many times, in our vernacular today, we would say home meetings. These are the small groups, right, where we gather together. There's opportunity for everybody to function in a very unintimidating way. To function, enjoy the Lord, and to be perfected through functioning. So these are all wonderful things. And so as we look to the Lord, freshly for our Lord's Day morning meetings, again, this new arrangement, we need to remember that we need to continue to strengthen and build up these first three things.
Amen.
Which, again, are the burden for people, to save sinners. It's the burden to shepherd them and feed them via one-on-one contact and one another. And it is the group meetings, the small group gatherings. How's your small group gathering? How is it?
Right.
So hopefully, hopefully we will be growing, we'll be advancing, we'll be building up our small groups. That will only help us here on the Lord's Day mornings. All right? So the Lord's Day morning is kind of like the peak, or it's the, you know, you get to that after 1, 2, and 3. Now, it's all a process. That doesn't mean like, until I become an expert at 1, 2, and 3, I don't need to say anything Lord's Day morning. No, it's all a process. It's all relative. So I like what it said there in the third paragraph about practicing the universal prophesying, right? To speak for the Lord in the church meetings. So, like it says in 1 Corinthians 14, right? It says, you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. So, but again, this is based on these other things. And I go back to the verses here in Acts 2, right? Where it says, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple, right? That's one phrase. And then secondly, breaking bread from house to house. So you have these two things. One accord in the temple, which is a corporate gathering, and then you have breaking bread from house to house.
Amen.
That's a daily living. That's a, you know, that's small groups, right? That is that's a living, and these two things are linked together, right? Mm-hmm. We can't separate. We can't have great gatherings in the temple if we're not breaking bread from house to house, and the Lord adding together day by day, right? Those who are being saved. So these go together. These go together. And so as we seek the Lord for a new beginning,
Amen.
Here, again, on Lord's Day mornings, we also are looking to the Lord for our daily life and for these first three things. Okay? Maybe we can just briefly read this last portion. I think this is very helpful.
Yes.
And then we can pass it on to some of the brothers here. Okay, I'll read it to you. Okay, the most crucial point that we want to fellowship in regard to the district meetings is that we should exercise to
function
in the meetings. Amen. That's right. So in our district meetings, which is our meetings here on Lord's Day, what is so important? Function, okay?
Yes.
This refers not only to elders and co-workers, not just to brothers who have been around for a while, right? But to who?
All the saints,
that's right. Elders and co-workers should be the head sheep who take the lead function in the meetings of the whole church and in district meetings. Notice it didn't say shepherd, it says head sheep. They need to function in every meeting. Some may speak something, okay, this is now talking about all the saints. Function in every meeting. Some may speak something from a hymn. All right, don't say out loud. When's the last time you spoke something from a hymn? All right. Others may share what they have received in their reading of the Bible. All right.
Amen.
So again, our Lord's Day morning, it's based on our living, right? Because hopefully we're reading the Bible. And still others may give their personal testimonies or minister the word. Isn't that good? A saint may pray at the beginning of the meeting. Amen. When's the last time we prayed at the beginning of a meeting?
Yeah.
Right? It's easy to like kind of wait until things kind of get stirred up. And then eventually at the end, we kind of find the momentum and then, all right. But again, if our meetings are based on our living, if we've been enjoying the Lord in our living, it's good. We can just enter right in, right? Pray at the beginning of the meeting. Then after a while, he may call a hymn or simply a chorus. Mm-hmm. How about that? Huh? When's the last time we called a hymn, right? Or when's the last time we just busted out with the chorus? He may then read two verses or speak a few words to point out their significance. Isn't this good?
Yes.
Wow, I mean, what about on Lord's Day morning if there's a bunch of different saints, someone just stands up and reads two verses.
Yes.
Someone shares a testimony.
Amen.
Someone just sings a chorus that he didn't officially call. It's like, hey, let's sing the chorus of hymn 1151. Just, you know, start singing. Okay? Or speak a few words to point out their significance, right? It is not too much. Look at this. It is not too much for a person to function in such a way 3 to 4 times in a meeting. 3 to 4 times. It's a nice guideline. The more the saints function in this way, the livelier and richer the meetings will be.
Amen.
The livelier and richer. Again, so this is an opportunity. We have our districts. We have our arrangement of the young people, right? Some Lord's Days, the young people will have their own meeting. Some Lord's Days, they will be here with us in the Lord's table and then go to the young people's meeting. And again, our point in doing that is not, we're not trying to just like keep them out of the way so we can have our own meeting. Just, you know what I mean?
Right.
This is really an investment.
Yes.
It's an investment in them and it's investment in us.
Amen.
So from all of these angles, right, we're building up the living, we're building up our burden for people, shepherding, all of these things. And hopefully, as we have many of these different types of gatherings, I like that. Our meetings will be lively and rich.
Amen.
Lively and rich. But it does take our functioning based on our practice of these things.
Yes.
Throughout the week, right? By ourselves and in the homes.
Amen.
In groups, etc., etc. So maybe I just turn it over.
Amen. I'll go for about 10 minutes, saints. And I just want to say I hope we all appreciate this kind of refresher.
Amen.
Word on why we are doing what we're doing. Our burden in districting and having meetings is not to perform.
Yeah.
It's not to have a liturgy, a ritual, fill the time. But the meeting is an exhibition of our living.
Amen.
And we have to come filled with burden. And I'm going to share a few points that reinforce what Stephen shared. But, you know, it's our brothers, it's our job to save us from perpetuating a routine or ritualistic church life.
Amen.
If you like ritual and routine, then sorry, the church life will bother you. We have to get used to being uncomfortable, in a sense. We're not here just to have something routine and you just hit play. It's this month of the year. We did the same thing last month. last year this month. You know, we're not just pressing the repeat button. We have to always freshly seek the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
And so, yes, we are districting because of some external needs, but the real need is an internal burden.
Amen.
An intrinsic burden to always freshly seek the Lord.
Amen.
Don't we all need a new beginning?
Yeah.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
An opportunity for a new beginning. And this fellowship is a refresher on why we have district meetings.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to read a portion from this book, Crucial Words of Leading in the Lord's Recovery, Book 6. Once the number of people in a church increases to a certain level, it becomes difficult for the church to push forward. In one place, there were 10 brothers and sisters participating in the church life in a city. After a year, the number increased to 80. However, once there were 100 people, the increase slowed down. And this is just one example, but it's actually probably pretty accurate.
Yeah.
It was actually about 10, 11 years ago when we began meeting here more regularly. And there were times, actually, where the saints were, it was no more than 10. On a Lord's Day. Andres, do you remember those days? We look around and it's, you know, not even this front row, right? I still remember the first Lord's Day we had here. My daughter, who was, I don't know, not even 5 at that time, she came to the meeting wearing her Sunday best, showed up, and at the end of the meeting she was crying and said, "Daddy, there's nobody here." That was her first Lord's Day here. So I remember that. But now you look around. Here we are 10, 11 years later. And like Stephen mentioned, you look at our church hall four numbers, it's in the hundreds range, which is very good. On the one hand, you say, hallelujah,
yeah.
Thank the Lord. On the other hand, you have to watch out, because that's the number where it's easy to plateau.
Yeah.
Now you say, what's wrong with 100 people? Isn't that good? I'm putting aside, you know, that we outgrew the space and all this. Ask your neighbor, what's the danger of a meeting? This is a funny question. What's the danger of a meeting that has 100 people in it? Ask your neighbor. I'm hearing a lot of good answers. How about, okay, let's just hear a few of them. A few.
You can hide.
Okay, you can hide, right? Big meetings, you can hide. We all know that, right? We all like hiding. If it's up to me, I'm in the back row every time. I have to stand against my disposition. Okay, what else?
You can rely on other people.
Yep. The same, you rely on Stephen and the brothers, you know, to lead the meeting, right? Okay, what else? Hard for it to feel mutual. This is, okay, this is all true. There's no wrong answers. Anybody else in this section? JR?
Shiloh said harder to function.
Harder to function. Okay, all of this is right, but I'm gonna tell you one that is heavy on my heart. When there's 100 people in the meeting and the room is full, it's very hard for you to know who's missing. You follow me?
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, wow. This is awesome. Look how full we are. And you stop thinking about who's not there. Or it becomes harder. Yeah. The same is in principle with the small group. If you start your small group, you know, you have 20 people at the start of the school year, you're like, oh, this is, wow, we got 20 people. And you don't, and, you know, it always feels full. You're always running out of food. You don't think about growing. If your small group starts with 8 people, then you start thinking, wow, who's not here? Who do we need to visit? Who have we not seen for a while? And that's the burden. Another burden as we take this way of districting, and this falls under the category of caring for one another and shepherding. But there are many saints among us who, you know, if all the saints who have come to one meeting in the past year, all came on one Lord's Day, all together, we would have much more than 100, right?
Yeah.
It might be 150, 160. It might be a lot more. And so as we take this way, saints, we should enjoy the Lord, we should function, but we need to consider, oh, who is not here among us? And this is actually falls in the category of these three items that Stephen mentioned. Okay, there are these three items here. I'm going to phrase it another way, again, from the same book. I'm going to, don't answer out loud, but basically here, you know, Brother Lee raises this question. You know, there are three questions that we have to ask the saints. Now, don't answer out loud. First, we need to ask the brothers and sisters how long it has been since they led someone to salvation. When was the last time you led someone to salvation? Second, because the brothers and sisters love the Lord, love the church, and love the Lord's recovery, we should ask them if they are shepherding a lamb, someone who is weaker or spiritually younger than they. You follow that? First question, when's the last time you led someone to the Lord? Second question, are you shepherding someone who is weaker or younger? And then the third question, we should ask the brothers and sisters if they know any of the saints who are not meeting on Lord's Day, but who are on the church directory. And whether you would be willing to shepherd them. I'm kind of paraphrasing, because this is talking about the church in Taipei, and they had information cards. Every saint who would come in would check in and sign their, like, you know, log in. And over the years, they would have thousands of information cards. Now, we don't have a sign-in. That would probably make the saints feel intimidated. But there's actually a very healthy burden here, because the saints would sign in, and over the year, you would see, okay, these are all the ones who've come. And then so the point here is visiting ones who have not come to meetings regularly.
Yeah.
And that is these three items here, right? With these three items, saving sinners, home meetings, is you're visiting somebody,
yeah,
right? Especially those who have not been meeting, or those who are a little colder, or those who are struggling, right, or those who are newly saved. Right. And then the next item is your group meetings. That is an environment where you're shepherding one another.
Amen?
Amen. So these are three pointed questions, and they should resonate with us. Again, we're... If what we really wanted was a perfect meeting every Sunday morning,
yeah,
we would not take the way we take right now.
Yeah.
You know the way we take? We come together, wait for somebody to call a hymn, wait for somebody to share. The whole meeting is unplanned. That's how we like it, right? Because we just trust the Lord. Uh-huh. If we were into programs, we could program it. Yeah. Our way is to freshly follow the Lord.
Amen.
And we trust the Lord every Lord's Day morning. But the real burden in following the Lord is we start to care for those around us.
Amen.
So on the one hand, our burden is we do care for the meeting, we care for everyone's functioning. But what this really gets at is how we live our lives outside of the meetings. And the last thing I want to share is another, I think, a really helpful angle on this. Ask your neighbor, what's the overall point of the meeting? The overall point of a church meeting.
Building up the church, fellowship.
Okay, I heard some good answers, but I heard an answer here among you brothers. What did you say?
I said the mingling of the triune God with humanity.
Okay, did you get that? The mingling of the triune God with humanity. Hey, what do we say?
Amen.
Amen. That's a very good answer. Okay, what else? May not be as high as that. What's the point of the meetings? Don't be bashful.
Fellowship.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. What else? Anybody else? How about sisters in the second row? Any answer? Or
to feed the saints.
To feed the saints. This is all good. There's no wrong answer. But let me give you an answer, word for word, page 98. We use the meetings to be connected with people. Period. You could write that down. What's the point of the meetings? we use the meetings to be connected with people. Now, that's not that, doesn't sound that high. Actually, what JR and Shiloh, right? What did you say? Is the triune God mingled with humanity? This is the same answer, but in a little simpler language. We use the meetings to be connected with people, right? Not just filling time and this, and then so specifically, this goes back to what I shared, knowing who's not in the meeting and who you need to visit, who we need to pray for. But then even before, and I would say especially after the meetings, to spend a few minutes talking to one another, introducing yourself to strangers, welcoming younger ones. And it's not that easy to talk to young people, right? The younger you are, the easier it is. The older you are, man, it gets harder and harder. Everything you say to a young person, you feel like you're just, you know, awkward or miss the mark. And, you know, my kids are in high school now, and I have to rethink how I talk to them. Now they roll their eyes, you know. It's so it's very hard. I know that. It's my own kids. So, but still, you use the meetings to connect with people.
Amen.
Okay, so can we just have this view? After every meeting, we just connect with people. We care. We take an interest. And you don't have to talk to everybody, right? We're not politicians shaking hands. but to take an interest in somebody, this will enrich the meeting life. Okay, so this is all part of our mindset and view as we resume year 3, actually, of our district meetings. We started fall 2016.
Yeah.
So year 3.
Amen.
Well, actually, year 4. Yeah, 16 to 19 is 3 years, right?
No, 3 years.
We're starting our fourth year.
We're finishing 3 years. We're beginning fourth year. Okay, see, we're even... Even that's a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, and we actually are going to have a little, you know, we won't call it officially a District 3, but there is another meeting starting up, beginning next week, largely taking place at one of the Saints' homes, and that will be a new care for the sixth graders.
Incoming
sixth graders. Yeah. Actually, existing sixth graders. They've all started their sixth grade year.
Yeah.
And the number is still being finalized, but that will be another Lord's Day morning meeting with shepherding.
Yeah.
And it actually, you know, is in the principle of this fellowship, saving sinners.
Amen.
Caring for younger spiritual ones.
Amen.
Right? And we hope an environment where they all can function. So pray for this.
Amen.
Pray for this, and we hope if some have the burden to serve, let us know. But this will be happening concurrently Lord's Day mornings for this entire school year. So more to come on that. Did you want to share anything, Ben?
I'll just share something sorry, I was kind of in the back there. I'll just share something to confirm some of what was spoken. Take about a minute. Many of us who were here last week, David shared at the end this two words. Do you all remember the words that were shared last week? Growth and? Growth and?
Shepherding.
Yes.
Growth and shepherding.
Amen.
And I think the fellowship this morning underlies these two things, growth and shepherding. You know, when we're in a situation where we feel good about the way our meeting looks, we're not concerned with growth.
Yeah.
Thinking about growth. And, you know, this last point concerning talking to one another before and after the meetings is so important. We often share this at the end of the closing word, right? Speak to 5 people. And it's like a joke, right? We kind of laugh. But you know what? No.
Yeah.
No. We need to speak to 5 people.
Right.
At least 5 people.
Yes.
This is where we get to know one another.
Amen.
Get to know our concerns. Get familiar with each other. And we can shepherd one another in these times. Certainly we shepherd each other when we speak encouraging words in the prophesying meeting, but that's a little bit different than speaking to a person and getting to know where their heart is, where their mind is. So I hope we would take the opportunity And not just look at the meetings as something we're nervous because we know we're going to have to share something. No. We come and we speak and we function to take care of one another.
Yeah.
Not only so, before the meetings and after the meetings,
right,
we speak to one another.
Amen.
Because we care for one another.
Amen.
When we talk about the building of the church, it's not just the high things that we say. In fact, it's mostly the one-on-one care that we have for one another.
Amen.
This includes all of us. It includes those younger than us.
Yes.
The young people and the sixth graders. So let's go on in this way.
Amen.
I hope you're encouraged by this fellowship.
Amen.
And now we have the opportunity to go to our districts and to practice having a living, what does it say? Lively and rich meeting.
Amen.
Which is not, again, just a performance. It's taking care of one another by ministering life to one another and contacting one another in the meeting.
Amen. Hallelujah.